You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, June 5th. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media. Maybe you're listening on the app or catching us later by podcast. We appreciate your starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Doesn't it feel better, in some parts anyway, where the Canadian wildfire smoke has dissipated? It's not totally gone, but it's not nearly as bad as it was. We've actually opened up a couple of windows here on Lake Wissota, so we don't have to have the air conditioner running all the time, but it doesn't smell so smoky out there and nice. And if it's not like that out in your direction in Wisconsin yet, we hope that it is really soon. It is a good morning, as Alicia says on YouTube, and appreciate you listening. Appreciate all the comments that people make as well. All throughout the 6 to 9 a.m. hours that we're here across the Civic Media Radio Network, you can call or text the show, 855-75-CIVIC. You can use the Civic Media app to text us as well. And, of course, you can put comments on Facebook or YouTube, and we might pop them up on screen here. Alicia adds, the smoke is still bad in northeast Wisconsin. I am sorry to hear that, but I'm telling you here as a sentry that some better air is coming. Going to be coming eventually anyway. Coming up on the program today, Republican lawmakers in Madison and in Washington, D.C. proved something again on Wednesday. These Republican lawmakers proved in both places they have no intention of doing what most Americans think politicians should do, which is to compromise and work together. In both cases, they are trying to ram through whatever they want, whatever the price. And that kind of attitude has literal life or death applications, as we're learning. And as we were reminded by Earl Ingram, when you see the ongoing death and damage happening because of fires in old apartment buildings that are spreading more than they should because of legislators who put their own pocketbooks ahead of the renters' rights, safety, common sense, you name it. We did talk to Earl late yesterday on our show, and we'll play some of that back here for you this morning at 6:30. At 7:30, we're going to visit with Congressman Mark Pocan live and talk about the predictable backlash to Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle coming from some of the same House Republicans who voted for it. The backlash is coming from some Republicans who voted for it and are now saying they didn't understand what was in the bill. We will also discuss Pocan's recent town hall in Eau Claire. And yeah, I know Eau Claire is not in Mark Pocan's district. That's Derek Van Orden's district. But you see, Derek Van Orden isn't taking meetings right now with his constituents, certainly not of the town hall type. He's really not one for taking questions unless he's hurling insults behind a keyboard. We will talk to Sean O'Malley at the 8 o'clock hour about your money and the markets, including President Trump's newest tariff, one that's going to jack up prices for almost anything in a can. His tariffs on aluminum and on imported beer are not likely to help aluminum and steel jobs in this country nearly as much as it'll hurt consumers and all the many, many workers in the beverage and food industries. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki. We'll talk to Chad Holmes as well. We will not be talking to Brittany Merlot. She's under the weather, continues to be this week, and we hope to have her back here again real soon. I can tell you it's 48 degrees here in the Chippewa Valley on our way to a high of 80. And while the skies have been nice here, the clouds are going to be on the increase, and there's going to be a chance of showers starting off our weekend. Might be kind of nice in the middle of the weekend, and then we might see a chance of showers again on Sunday. So Keep an eye on the sky, on the local forecast that plays throughout the day on your local Civic Media station, and we'll see if we can't get the ability to squeeze in some plans throughout the weekend in between areas of showers. It is my distinct honor right now to tell you that we have a real celebrity joining us right now. We have, here on the Civic Media Radio Network, a national champion, Parker Olson, joining us.
Hi.
And
you're saying,
wait. Parker Olson, national champion? Well, you know,
dang right.
By extension, who are the actual national champions again?
My Warhawks, baseball. They just won a national championship yesterday.
That would be UW-Whitewater, your new D3 national champions.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited about it. I worked very hard on this.
I know. Well, I mean, covering the games maybe.
Yeah.
Broadcasting the games and things like that. Tony puts up on YouTube, Chad, Joe, Earl, Congressman Pocan, when will Parker have time to talk about the Whitewater National Champions? Right now.
Tony is my guy. I like this.
Yeah.
He knows what I need to talk about. He knows I got to talk about Adam Cootway, Matt Skolin, Aaron Howland, all those guys that were doing awesome in the World Series.
Now we're just name-dropping future major leaguers. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Got it.
Yes, sir. Let's go, Eli Frank.
Okay. Tell me more. I mean, who did they beat? Where was this at home? Do they do these things? Is it like a home series or a neutral site?
So it's a neutral site. The way it works is the NCAA tournament, I believe it's 64 teams, and then they do a couple of rounds. 8 teams go to the World Series, which is kind of weird to me. They do 2 pools of 4, and then the winners of those pools go into the championship series, which is what Whitewater was in yesterday. They beat, I believe it's Messiah University out of Pennsylvania, I believe. Mm-hmm. Kind of the two spectrums of Division III of like UW State School versus, I'm going to assume that Messiah is a school of like 500 kids.
You're assuming that about Messiah?
Okay. Yeah.
But look, if they got to the, you know, the finals, you know, they must, they clearly have got some talent.
Oh yeah, for sure. It is a very, like, to get that far is very, and baseball is a weird sport, to be fair, but like, mm-hmm. you've got to be pretty good. And they were, I think they ran out of gas, because that game of 21-5 was the final yesterday. Is not exactly, well, I think, representative of what Messiah did to end the season.
Perhaps. Messiah here is out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, is what they've got here. But now the student body, I feel like I have to defend their honor now.
I was, I can't find an enrollment here. What are we working with here?
That's a very good question. Here we go. It is...
Oh, 3,000. Okay.
3,000. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So Parker Olson apologizes on behalf of Civic Media to all the folks in beautiful Pennsylvania there, but is still going to claim that national championship for the Warhawks.
Oh, yeah. I've been going to Whitewater football games since I was a little kid with my dad. And when I was a little kid, they were winning national titles left and right. It was kind of a given that they were going to go to the national championship game in football. And then I spent 4 years at Whitewater as a student, and we got really close to national championships in a lot of sports, but didn't win any. So this feels very good to me.
I was going to say, I always think of Whitewater as being the most athletically tuned program of the D3 ones that are out there, that there's a real focus on sports. And you're saying that while you were there, that wasn't so much the case, that your class was a bit of a disappointment is what I'm hearing?
As far as team sports go, we did have a number of individual champions. Christian Patzka is a cross country and track and field runner. And I'm going to ballpark and say that he won 5 or 6 national championships in 4 years. And he should have won another this year, but he broke.
What else was he running? I mean, you can only win 4 in 4 years.
Oh, so. Well, no, because track and field plus cross country.
Oh, he was doing track and field as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think he might have had national championships in 2 track and field events, if I remember right. I'm not positive, though. So he was incredible, but unfortunately his career came to an end after qualifying for nationals. And then I think he had an accident in practice and like broke a toe. So he didn't get to go. So that sucked. But he is going to keep training. I think that he's going to try to get into the Olympics in, mm-hmm. what would that be, 28. So he's okay. Very, very good.
Got it. I'm going to get ahead of myself on the national day calendar here. Our history lesson's coming up at about 6:52 here, like it is most mornings. But as I turn to the Up North News Daily newsletter, Christina Laurie also notes, as I was going to, that it's National Hot Air Balloon Day.
Ooh.
Have you ever been on one?
I've not. I've seen them.
Do you have, well, I would hope so, have any interest in doing one?
Yeah, I could do that. I think
you could.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. As a kid, definitely not. I was terrified of heights. But now,
oh yeah,
now same, I think it'd be okay.
Same here. The question I was going to ask is: it's National Hot Air Balloon Day, and it's National Veggie Burger Day. And the question is, which would you rather? And that's my feeling on hot air balloons: is I would rather actually try to eat a veggie burger than to get into a hot air balloon.
Really.
I'm not even sure if anybody has actually survived a hot air balloon. I'm pretty sure they all crash and burn, or people fall out of them, or the basket comes detached or something.
That can't be true.
I don't know. I mean, I've never seen one land safely, to be honest. And I watch a lot of news, and it seems like all the time on the news, if they talk about hot air balloons, it's some kind of a tragic conclusion. But look at me, raining on National Hot Air Balloon Day. You know why? Because you can't take a hot air balloon if it's raining either. But in our newsletter today, Christina talks about several companies throughout Wisconsin that operate hot air balloon rides. And there are even entire festivals celebrating these massive balloons. And so read more in the newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. See, Tony's with me. He says on YouTube, I've only seen them in the movies, and I'm pretty sure they safely land with CGI. That might be the only way. I don't know. But learn more about that in our newsletter. Also in the newsletter today, again, Christina is going through Food Network's 25 iconic eats and drinks from America's Dairyland. And today's pick is the Brandy Old Fashioned. And everybody here already knows my love, almost nightly, of the Brandy Old Fashioned. Is that a regular beverage for the Olsen family? I almost said the Olsen twins. It just falls off.
Olsen twins. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I haven't met them. My parents are barely drinkers. So Pretty much anything they're not drinking for the most part. I think I've had an Old Fashioned once and I was not a fan.
It probably was made by somebody from Minnesota. That's all I can figure, because you can't leave the state. You can go to places, other places, and say, I would like a Brandy Old Fashioned, and what they'll make you is a Manhattan, because they don't really know. They kind of conflate the recipes. And in Wisconsin, it is very much a Brandy Old Fashioned, not a whiskey one, and there are stories about that, but again, it's just a Wisconsin thing. People love their brandy here, and so Christina's story is all about how Brandy Old Fashions came to be a thing. Adam writes on YouTube, being a food scientist and having developed veggie burgers, I can say they are safer than hot air balloons. All right,
fair.
Good. That is fair. I like that. I would now give the veggie burger a try. Thanks to Adam's reassurance. The hot air balloon, not so much. So, all right, we've got a lot of ground to cover today, so let's pause here, and we'll talk a bit about the breakdown in budget negotiations between legislative Republicans and Governor Tony Evers. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tomorrow on the program, we will have our Week in Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze and Chicago broadcaster Joan Esposito will be filling in for Mark Jacob. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. We'll have a look at weekend sports coming up with the first of our regular Friday visits from Mike Clemens from Civic Media. So let's get over and talk about sports for just a sec here, because the Brewers took 2 out of 3 from the Cincinnati Reds. It was a day for the backups, by and large. Isaac Collins, who belted a 3-run home run. Daz Cameron, who had a 2-run home run. So did Jackson Churio, as the Brewers won their 12th consecutive series against the Cincinnati Reds, 9-1 yesterday. D.L. Hall, who's back from the injured list, opened for the Brewers, and he allowed 1 hit in 3 innings of work. The Brewers are off today, coming home for a weekend series, a long homestand, starting this weekend against San Diego. And the first pitch tomorrow will be at 7:05, I believe. Coverage begins at 6:35, I know that, on several Civic Media stations. And so you'll want to tune in all throughout the weekend for the Brewers-Padres series coming up from American Family Field. The NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup Finals, are underway. And when I went to bed, because that's what I got to do at this age and getting up at this hour, Florida looked to be handily ahead. I believe they were up 3-2, something like that. I woke up this morning to find out Edmonton had won in overtime, 4-3, and have a 1-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 2 will be tomorrow night in Edmonton. The NBA Finals get underway tonight with the Indiana Pacers in Oklahoma City. Hey, a reminder, you can also catch us as a podcast, and if you do subscribe to podcasts and you use Spotify, just find us that way. And look, you don't even have to know how to spell Kreitlow. If you put in, if you do a search for Wisconsin politics or Wisconsin political news, you will find us, you will find Up North News, you will find our morning show here, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from the Civic Media Radio Network, and subscribe to us that way. So look for us on Spotify. We'd love to have you as a subscriber there. Back over to the comments section here, and I mentioned that it is really hard outside of Wisconsin to get a decent old-fashioned, and Cassandra writes, they really have no idea anywhere else. My husband had to explain it to a bartender once. Oh, we've had to explain it to a bartender many times. I will say, though, the record is no longer, it's no longer zero. There are occasionally places that, because I'm always game, I'm like, oh, they've got an old-fashioned listed. I will give it a try. What do you got? And every so often, you'll get a good one, and you'll go, what do you know? How did you do? And invariably they'll go, oh, I was a student in Madison back in the day, or, you know, I went to UWGB back in the day, and now I live here in South Carolina, or whatever the case may be. There's always a Wisconsin tie. So if you want a good one, that's how you do it. You find somebody who learned from the pros right here. Let's talk for a sec about the negotiations over the state budget. Because that's how it's supposed to work, right? If you have a governor of one party and a legislature run by the other party, the trick is to get along and look for ways that you can both go back to the voters and say, look how we worked together to get some things done. I didn't get everything I wanted, but they didn't get everything they wanted. We both got something that we liked. This is how it works. It has never worked that way so long as Robin Voss has been running the Wisconsin State Assembly and Republicans running the Wisconsin State Senate, currently with Devin Lemieux, hell-bent on doing anything to be an obstruction to Governor Tony Evers, elected by the people of this state statewide 2 times. That's just been how they work, is we will throw whatever tantrums we have to. We will throw whatever barriers are in the way to get our way or the highway or no way at all. And folks are frankly quite sick of it. But again, Republican politicians don't mind if people are sick of politics, because if fewer people vote because they're sick of politics, Republicans tend to take advantage of that. Anyway, this time around, there had been negotiations going on. I was a little surprised to hear that, given Republicans' track record. But they had been going on, apparently for months, at staff levels and eventually at higher levels, only to find out late yesterday that after months of negotiations, they fell apart. Republicans walked away. And it's pretty easy from the reactions, and both sides put out reactions within minutes. And it's clear reading, you know, all of the reactions, what has happened here. Because Governor Evers made it clear he had agreed to support what Republicans wanted most, which were tax cuts. Now, they weren't the same exact tax cuts that Governor Tony Evers would have wanted, but there were still some tax cuts in there that he could support, and he agreed to go along with that, to find a compromise on tax cuts. I always thought that would happen. But I would have told you it was going to be a tough hill to climb for Republicans to come even close to agreeing to support what our state needs in terms of education, childcare, health care, and other things like that. And sure enough, Republicans could not come out of the corner that they've painted themselves into, going all the way back to, you know, read my lips, no new taxes. They cannot find ways to fund the things that they know need to be funded. That's why in Washington, they're trying to ram a bill through, again, without any Democratic negotiation or cooperation. And they'll put it all on the credit card. They'll run up $3 trillion more in debt just to get things the way that they want rather than to, you know, actually cooperate. According to Senator Devin Lemahieu, he says, both sides work to find compromise. However, we have reached a point where Governor Evers' spending priorities have extended beyond what taxpayers can afford. No, what you're saying there is the people's priorities, as expressed over and over and over again in public hearings and in the Capitol and in talking to any of your constituents, you have decided you don't want to do. You don't want to represent the people of your district or of your state. And so you've decided to walk away from the negotiating table. So we'll do it that way. And there will be probably partial vetoes or maybe a full veto again. We'll see. Earl Ingram is joining us next to talk about another way legislators are being hazardous to your health. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Late in the show on Wednesday, we visited with Earl Ingram, a civic media legend covering the people and the big stories of Southeast Wisconsin. Recall I said that Republicans don't want to work together with others. They want not so much to govern, so much as they want to rule, looking out only for their own narrow interests. And that kind of attitude has life or death applications, as we're reminded by Earl, when you see the ongoing death and damage happening because of legislators who literally put their own pocketbooks ahead of safety and renters' rights and common sense. Here's our discussion. Hey, I wanted to ask you about some stories that you're following, and one of them is especially troubling, quite frankly, and it is the ongoing rash of fires in apartment buildings in your area, you know, multifamily housing. And it brings back memories of my time in the legislature, again, going back, but that just tells you how long we've been talking about this. This whole notion of these older buildings not being required to retrofit with sprinkler systems, something that you would need now. But I know from being inside that building in Madison that there's all kinds of pressure all the time not to make these old buildings as safe as they could be.
You know, I get frustrated because we're supposedly in a representative government, which means we can't petition the government individually, but we have to elect people who will carry our burdens and do the things necessary to protect the people. But I, you know, at 70 years of age, I know that that's not the case, and it didn't just get to be that way. And so when you have people who you elect who are supposed to look out for the well-being of you and your loved ones, and they're more concerned about the lobbyists and the people who have the money, and this all came to a head on Mother's Day here in Milwaukee, when a 125 family unit caught fire. Some say it was somebody set it afire, but five people died in that unit, 125 family unit with no sprinklers, and they were waived because the building was old. Well, There have since been several other fires in 25 family units and above. No sprinklers. So the chief of police, Aaron Lipsky, is really beside himself, and he's demanding change. That change can only come in Madison. And this is not a Milwaukee problem. This is a problem across the state and probably across the nation, where older buildings don't have to meet those codes. And I would say, if you own those buildings, you should figure out a way to pay for having those sprinklers put into your buildings. You're not a pauper if you own buildings that have 125 families in them.
No, absolutely not. In a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article from Gina Lee Castro, the headline says, "We need not just affordable housing, we need survivable housing as Milwaukee reconsiders sprinkler requirements after a fatal fire." Her story says, "Presently, buildings built before 1974, no matter how many units they have, aren't required to have a sprinkler system." And so folks might be saying, well, wait a minute, isn't there some degree of local control? Can't a local government take care of this? No, because the story goes on to say that a state law signed by Governor Scott Walker 12 years ago, Act 270, it's called, prevents Milwaukee from requiring sprinklers in older buildings. The law stripped Milwaukee and all local governments of their ability to adopt municipal ordinances that are more restrictive than state law, according to City Attorney Evan Goyke, who also served in the legislature. And Earl, if there's one thing we know about the Wisconsin legislature, not just the Republican control over these past 14 years, but there are a lot of landlords amongst those legislators who did things like this law that Scott Walker signed that removed local control.
You know, the hypocrisy in it is we talk about democracy. We talk about what it is and the importance of it. But the longer I live, the more I look into it, the more I really shake my head. Because when you look, you know, when you look underneath the garment, you're going to find something that is really not appealing and appetizing. And I think that part of this is that if the American people, especially, you know, living in Milwaukee is all my life, and being from Wisconsin and knowing these things and these arrows that have been shot at my community, it's more than frustrating. And to be honest with you, Pat, I don't see an end to it. But again, this is not an issue that's a Milwaukee issue. It's an issue across the state and probably across the nation, where elected officials have chosen to support those with money. Oh, and the lives of those who basically are the average citizens come second.
I was looking at just clicking through some links in the story here, and it takes us to a 2019 story about the number of legislators who double as landlords and pass bills that undermine renters' rights. It notes, and again, this is from 2019, it noted that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is a college town landlord with 23 properties, back then worth nearly $4 million, and has done things like speed up the eviction process, eliminate some tenant legal defenses, limit the power of cities to police landlords, and cap fees that are tied to building code violations. None of these things, Earl, ever come up during legislative campaigns because they're always on the bigger issues, you know, healthcare, crime, whatever. You don't see ads about, you know, a legislature of landlords. And as a result, you see these terrible tragedies about buildings that aren't retrofitted with sprinklers. But it seems to me, after all these years, this might actually be an issue that's going to resonate with more people. Again, not just in Milwaukee, but in any town that has old apartment buildings going, wait a minute, I don't think these guys are looking out for me.
Well, for the most part, I would say that people who live in apartment buildings that are old and that don't have sprinkler systems aren't exactly well off economically and financially. And so who speaks for them? My argument has always been a vote is a vote is a vote. And whether or not you're a person who struggles economically or whether or not you're a wealthy person, the representation should be the same. But you just pointed out a prime example why it's not the same. And we've got to do everything within our power to educate people to understand what the real issues are in these campaigns.
We really should. And I want to go back to the original article and note that that there is an alderman there, Peter, is it Burgalis, who is suggesting a way to circumvent the current state law, and that would be requiring landlords to disclose to tenants ahead of signing a lease that an apartment doesn't have a sprinkler system. And Goyke said that he supports the idea and is going to do some research to see if Act 270 could restrict that. So again, it's not the same as requiring a retrofit, but I mean, it's a positive step at least to notify somebody that, hey, you're about to sign a lease of a place that's old and does not have sprinklers.
I guess I would say, if you talk to the families of the five people who lost their lives on Mother's Day, and all of those who in the past who also lost their lives, they would look at this in a much more urgent manner than those of us who have not suffered that consequence.
That's Earl Ingram from the show yesterday. We visit with him on Wednesday mornings in our 8 o'clock hour. And after that conversation, I went back and looked at some more of the coverage over the years of the battle between renters' rights and the landlords in the legislature who try to undermine those rights. And going back to, let's see, this one is from late 2023, there was a package of bills introduced by Democrats that, again, helped to bolster tenants' rights, helped to make sure that they have legal representation in eviction proceedings. According to an article from the Wisconsin Examiner, one bill would enshrine that right statewide and require a notice of the right in rental agreements, in eviction notices, and other publications related to small claims court. There also would have been a state grant program to lawyers providing legal services in eviction cases for tenants. Again, because these are people who are often struggling to make rent, want to be good tenants, but run into problems a lot of times not of their own making, which takes me to the package of bills that some Republicans put forward over the past couple of years that would have gutted tenant rights. A lot of them put forward by legislators who were themselves landlords, rental property owners. For example, one of the bills would have given landlords an edge by remaking the legal process for evictions by expediting the process and shortening the time frame for each step and allowing landlords to ask sheriffs to remove tenants faster. One bill would have even allowed landlords to evict tenants if a crime was committed on the premises, even if the tenant could not have prevented the crime. In testimony against the bill, the Wisconsin Coalition Against Domestic Violence argued that under that bill, landlords technically would be allowed to evict victims of domestic abuse under that kind of logic. I am not going to sit here and try to tell you that tenants are always in the right and that tenants are perfect. I would not want to be a landlord. But if I chose to be a landlord, I know that there would be certain rules and standards that would have to be followed and that people would have to have their rights one way or the other. And we can debate what those rights should be. We can debate what the standards for landlords should be. But won't you agree with me that it's a little tougher to do that when your legislature is full of landlords themselves? Doesn't that seem just a little bit like somebody's thumb is on the scale and making it far too easy for folks to find themselves homeless on the whims of a landlord who just happens to have a whole lot of power as a state legislator? One quick note from the inbox here, a press release from Peter Rickman talking all about how workers at Anodyne Coffee in the Milwaukee area voted overwhelmingly for being represented by a union. He says, despite a vigorous union-busting campaign conducted by Fairwave Holdings, the private equity-backed company that has owned Anodyne for the past couple of years, Anodyne workers unanimously voted for the union 37-0. They voted to join MASH, the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers Union. It's something that we have seen in a growing number of places like coffee shops in Wisconsin and elsewhere. We think of you know, union activities happening in these big factories. But frankly, it's in a lot of these small places that, again, much like tenants, workers are finding that they can be doing more to have their voices heard and to fight for their rights. We don't always have to be under the thumb of every equity fund, every billionaire that happens to buy a presidency. We can vote. We can demonstrate, we can make change in elections, but we have to stay focused and we have to take part in little things, even little things like these union elections as they come up. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings up north and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
A clip is from the Milton Berle Show, this day, June 5th, 1956. Introducing his new single, Hound Dog, and scandalizing the audience there with his suggestive hip movements. That's Parker laughing. Yes. It's just the phrase, suggestive hip movements. Did you happen to see the Elvis movie from a couple of years back where Tom Hanks played Colonel Tom Parker?
No, I didn't. I do want to see it, but I haven't got around to it.
It's really good. It is not a documentary by any stretch. It's kind of imaginative. I'm sure it takes liberties, but the story itself is solid, and it includes the reaction that he gets to the fact that everybody else was so scandalized by the way that he likes the music and likes to groove to it. And I recall after this, he went on Steve Allen's show, and Steve Allen said, "Oh, don't worry, we'll put this controversy to rest," and they put him in, I think, like a tuxedo, and he was singing Hound Dog to a basset hound, and he was so humiliated at that. Yeah. But it all started with this appearance on Milton Berle this day in 1956. By contrast, on this day in 2007, an unknown 19-year-old named Rihanna released the album Good Girl Gone Bad. The first single was Umbrella. The rest is history. Her Def Jam label boss, Jay-Z, was part of the intro to that tune. And Rihanna really went places after that album came out this day in 2007. On this day in 1971, Cat Stevens was playing Carnegie Hall in New York City, and opening for Cat Stevens was Carly Simon, where she debuted this song. And I wonder if I'm really with you now, or just chasing after some fun. She wrote Anticipation a few days earlier, waiting for Cat Stevens to come over for a date. There's a bit of trivia you might not have known about that song. On this day in 1851, Harriet Beecher Stowe's anti-slavery serial, Uncle Tom's Cabin, or Life Among the Lowly, started a 10-month run in the abolitionist newspaper National Era. It is now my sad duty to tell you that I must play this next song, because born on this day in 1956 was a musician who today celebrates being 69 years old. Happy birthday to Kenny G.
When I was looking at the YouTube video of this one, I had closed captions on. It said jaunty saxophone music.
Jaunty saxophone music.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing jaunty about this. I mean, I'm not Noah Webster, but I'm pretty sure this ain't jaunty. Anyway, on this day in 1981, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Weekly Morbidity and Mortality Report talked about five people in Los Angeles again, this is 1981, having a rare form of pneumonia seen only in patients with weakened immune systems in what turned out to be the first recognized cases of AIDS, which again became a national scare, but again, through research, much progress has been made since that time. On this day in 1993, the late Toby Keith, God, I can't believe I'm still saying that, the late Toby Keith in 1993 scored the very first of what would be 20 number one country hits with this single.
I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to row and run. Wearing my six-shooter, riding
20
my
country
pony,
number one hits. I almost swear there would have been more. He was so ubiquitous to the top spot of the charts. Today's just a serious day in the news. It was on this day in 1968 that Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated after giving a speech in Los Angeles, having just won the California primary. And one more song that we'll go with. It was on this day in 2001 that another unknown young woman, 20-year-old Alicia Keys, released her debut album, Songs in A Minor. A lot of people paid attention to her after this breakthrough hit. All right, I've mentioned a couple of things here on the National Day calendar. One I didn't mention was moonshine. So this is National Moonshine Day, which Sherry tells me that her grandpa for a time was a moonshine runner.
Really?
During Prohibition. Yeah.
Huh.
Prohibition was a very colorful time, shall we say, in Wisconsin. but also, as noted earlier in the program, this is National Hot Air Balloon Day and National Veggie Burger Day, which leads to the question, which would you, or more appropriately, which one would you never, you know?
Yeah, I'm still leaning I would do the hot air balloon.
Instead of the veggie burger?
I think so. I want to have a little adventure, Pat.
Well, I used to think there would be adventure in trying to eat a veggie burger, but then, you know, we have a food scientist listening who said he helped develop the veggie burger, and He says they are safer than hot air balloons.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's combine them. Let's throw veggie burgers from hot air balloons.
I was thinking like we go like 6 feet off the ground and eat a veggie burger.
Okay. All right. No, I honestly would not.
You won't?
Let me tell you something. And Selena Heller will be here. She may be here on Monday. I forget now if she is. She'll vouch for this. She helps out consistently with the air show in Eau Claire when the Blue Angels come to town and things like that.
Yeah.
And she gave me the opportunity to ride along on one of these planes, or at least said she'd put in a good word for me. I should put it that way.
Sure.
And she was very surprised when I said, oh, not just no, hell no. I mean, it's something, you know, you see reporters do it all the time,
yeah.
And that's great, great for them. But I said, no, I'm a 60-year-old chicken who will not do that. But thank you for the opportunity for your hot air balloon ride or your supersonic jet.
Dude, a blue
your
angel.
Chance to win in the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is coming up. Also, Congressman Mark Pocan, Chad Holmes, Joseph Pecky, and Sean O'Malley, all here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.